Welcome to this edition of Buy Hold Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets, Australia's number one website for expert investment analysis. Buy Hold Sell is a weekly show where two fund managers share their views on a selection of listed companies in their area of expertise. Buyers and sellers are what make the market, and you'll find that our guests don't always agree on the stocks being covered. Hit the subscribe button on your podcast player to be the first to receive new episodes each week. If there are stocks you'd like our guests to discuss, let us know by leaving a comment in the review segment. Remember, the views expressed in this show are not recommendations to invest. You should seek appropriate investment advice before making any investment decisions. And of course, please read the disclaimer in the show's notes. Let's get into the show.
Buy Hold Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets. My name is Bella Kidman, and today we're going to be talking about a funny little area of the market, the mighty mid-caps. Even Peter Green from Longsec said that everybody needs to have the mid-caps on your radar. So a few stats for you. The ASX Mid-Cap 50 Index has returned around 30% in the last 12 months. It's managed to perform double than the ASX 20 over the last decade, and also returned more than four times the Small Ords Index. So today we thought we'd get two mid-cap maestros to talk all about the 411 of mid-cap investing. I've got Catherine Allfrey from Wavestone and Bruce Williams from Elston. Bruce, I'll start with you. The stats I've just mentioned, they talk about companies from 100 to 51 in the index. Is that the best way of looking at a mid-cap, or is it more broad than that?
You could probably extend it a bit further than that, Bella, but for our purposes, we're limited to the ASX 100, so the definition suits us fine.
And Catherine, would you prefer to look at it more broadly, or is that the right definition?
Well, we're broad cap managers, so we invest in anything from 200 million up. So yes, 50. We're happy with 50 to 100 as mid cap.
And mid caps have obviously performed extremely well over the last 12 months, over the last decade. So when you're looking at mid caps, what is it about this area of the market that's so exciting compared to perhaps the small and large cap areas?
Well, usually you've got a few zingers coming through. You know, they've come through the small caps and they're ongoing. You know, they've got some industry tailwind behind them or some amazing commodity price. So, like, you know, that's, you've seen the benefit for Oz Minerals, for Mineral Resources. You know, they've done, performed like 150% in the last 12 months. And so that's what drives these stocks through. In the past, we've seen things like healthcare stocks that have just, you know, raced on through from small cap, mid cap into the large cap sector. And currently in that universe, 50 to 100, there's only one healthcare stock.
There you go. Well, I mean, what are the pros and cons of investing in this space? It's not, you don't have your small pocket rockets like you do in the small lords, but you don't have those sturdy names like you do in the large caps. So what's the pros and cons of investing in mid caps?
Versus large caps, we see it as probably more diversified. So the large cap index is very concentrated in its structure. So we see it as a good diversifier to that. We also see that it is a sector that has, or it is a section of the market that has a lot more growth than the more mature industries in the large cap. So that's why we certainly go in there is for the growth.
What is behind the performance that we've been seeing in mid caps? Do we think that this is a sustainable, you know, pattern, or are we going to slow down soon?
Yeah, I think we'd see it slow down. Basically, we've seen a couple of big sectors, particularly financials in the large caps, underperform over the last decade, and that's starting to back out. At the same time, you've seen the mid-cap sector aided by low interest rates, low growth environment, structural growth companies. You've seen multiple expansion there. And again, that tailwind is starting to ease off. So we think the large caps will probably have a resurgence versus the mids.
Do you agree, Catherine? Is it about to slow down, or what is driving the performance of these mid-caps?
Well, when you look at those 50 to 100, like when we look at stocks, it's like, doesn't matter which stock it is, right? We're looking at bottom-up fundamentals. You know, are there industry tailwinds behind it? Does it have what we define as superior corporate DNA, which means a really solid track record, strong operating margins, logical expansion? And so they're the sort of things that we're looking for when we're looking for stocks. And so when that, you know, 50 stocks that you're talking about in mid-caps, you know, there's actually about 15 of them, they've actually severely underperformed the market in the last 12 months. And they're the structurally challenged companies like, you know, the AMPs of this world that have continued to fall on and out. Whereas conversely, you know, you've got these new, you know, up and comers But like Bruce says, what's happened is that particularly those three stocks, Lynas, Oz Minerals and Mineral Resources, up 150% each in the last 12 months. Is that sustainable to continue? I don't think so.
So taking that into consideration, looking at your allocation to mid-caps, is it higher or lower than it usually would be?
It is actually higher at the moment because there's quite a few little stocks that we've done really well with out of the last 12 months. We've done well out of Nine, ALS, Reliance. These stocks have all performed really well for the funds. So, you know, we're happy to hold them.
What about you, Bruce? Are you lowering your exposure to this area?
We are only allowed about 20% of our portfolio in the 51 to 100, and we're generally there or thereabouts. As Catherine says, you know, we see a lot of value within that part of the market still, even if there are some excessive valuations out there. So we're happy to continue to have exposure to it.
And where are you seeing some opportunity in this part of the market currently?
Probably COVID, stocks that were disrupted by COVID or hurt by COVID. So if you look at travel, for example, we see some opportunity there. We also see energy. Again, it's been an underperformer off low commodity prices and also the transition to renewable energy. So we see opportunities in there as well.
Catherine, you've given us a few names, but where are you specifically seeing opportunity in the mid-cap space at the moment?
We only own 9 stocks out of that 50, and it's very similar to Bruce, around 20% allocation to that sector, but it's sort of bottom-up driven in terms of portfolio allocation as well. I would have to say, a bit like what Bruce is saying, we're seeing more opportunity in the small cap, the X100, and also in the top 50 names.
Catherine, looking at your portfolio now, it's important to have those reliable, sturdy names. So what's one example that you think in your portfolio that's reliable that people have forgotten about?
Look, one that's been sold off recently is TPG that we've nibbling at. That one has been hit hard because the founder, TO, obviously has stepped down. But we still think there's a solid business there with a cost out story. Plus you've got some improvement in terms of pricing, both in mobiles as well as NBN. On the face of it, the multiple looks quite, you know, large. Actually, there's significant tax losses there. So the free cash flow that the company will generate over the next couple of years will be quite high. So they'll be allowed to increase its dividend over time. So it's a good income opportunity as well. So we like that one.
Bruce, same question to you. What's one example of a company that you think is reliable that investors may have forgotten about?
We really like Flight Centre in that sector, and I wouldn't probably call it reliable right now, but we do like it. It was obviously absolutely hammered by COVID in terms of its business model. It operates the two areas, so you've got corporate travel. We don't see that going back to the same level it was due to the use of technology such as Zoom and so on, but they've made up for that through market share gains and contract wins, and that comes down to client service. The other side, which will require more time, is leisure travel, and that's both domestic and overseas. So domestic, nothing much will happen there until our borders open, but overseas, certainly the northern summer is very important for them, and we think people wanting to holiday is pent up. It hasn't disappeared. So we think once they get going, they'll be fine. The last point is they had a major cost-out program. They squeezed 3 years into one, so it is structurally a different beast to what it was beforehand.
Okay, Bruce, your time to shine. What's one classic example of a mid-cap stock that you think represents good value?
We really like Virgin Money. It isn't really well known domestically because it was spun out of National Australia Bank in 2016, its operations in the UK. But it's one of the few banks that has a positive net promoter score, which is very unusual for a bank in this post-Royal Commission world. So we very much like that. Good management, good growth prospects, and very well capitalised.
Catherine, can you beat Virgin Money?
Well, I'm going to go with an ongoing winner, to be honest. I'm going to go with Nine Entertainment, which obviously backed for some time now. But again, still think there's upside, about 20% or more. The company's performing exceptionally well coming out of this COVID, hit that it came through with TV advertising, radio advertising last year. It looks like advertising's up 40 to 50% year on year, which is more than obviously it was in 2019. Domain's obviously doing exceptionally well. Standstill, you know, hanging in there post-COVID. And so the group's still only trading on 17 times next year's earnings and generating a really good yield with a really strong balance sheet. So we expect further returns, and it's just upgraded earnings again for 22. So I think you're still on a winner with that one.
Well, they may be mid-caps, but one thing is certain, they've got big potential. If you've enjoyed this episode of Buy, Hold, Sell, make sure you subscribe to LiveWire's YouTube channel for more.
Thanks for listening to Buy, Hold, Sell, brought to you by LiveWire Markets, Australia's number one source of expert investment analysis. Register for free at livewiremarkets.com to discover more exclusive investing articles, videos, and podcasts.